And I'm very happy now to welcome Diane Karp. She's Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Good morning, Santa Fe.
So it occurred
to
me, and beyond, it occurred to me that now that you do Speaking of the Arts, we actually haven't had you on for ages to talk about the Santa Fe Art Institute and all the things that are going there. And there's some really interesting and important new work and ongoing work that's happening at the Santa Fe Art Institute. So I wanted to just give you a little bit of time.
Well, thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here. As you know, we've been madly building the Art Institute over the last 12 years, and our programs range to residencies for artists and writers and performers from all over the world who come and live and work at the Art Institute anywhere from 1 to 3 months all year long. We have public lectures bringing in artists who have really creative and innovative ideas about issues of social justice, cultural freedom, environmental responsibility. We have run workshops. We have an amazing education and outreach program,
which I want to hear about because there's some very interesting things going on at the middle school level, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, indeed. So let me get really simple and direct. For the next 2 years, all of our programs, the public programs, are gathered around the theme of contested space. And it occurred to us that now that the entire world and outer space are being Googled and mapped, those areas that used to be the kind of wild frontiers where people could go and try things out no longer exist. And the contested spaces that we live with in contemporary society are cultural, social, political, land-based, and idea-based. And a good example of that is the exhibition that results from a residency project that's up at the Art Institute now and will be up till the end of February. And it's an exhibition called Shifting Baselines. It's about water in the 21st century in the Southwest. And it involves two artists and a curator who lived for the entire month of December together at the Art Institute to build this. Cynthia Hooper is an LA artist who addressed the issue of the Colorado Delta in the area where the U.S. and Mexico come together.
Such as it is or was.
Such as it is or was. But what she addresses is three either accidental or inadvertent wetlands that are created down there that have a very complex history but have created these environments for wild birds and migrating birds and all kinds of plant life and even fish, which is kind of an astounding reality. You wonder how the fish got there, but they are there. And what she is basically addressing is that we need to pay a lot of attention to those areas that support the flora and fauna that are being jeopardized by the rapid desertification of the Southwest. And then there's Hugh Pocock. And Hugh is dealing with the simple fact that all the water that we have in the world is the water that was here when the dinosaurs were here. And whether it's melting Arctic polar caps or whether it's the desertification and the change of climate change, the water is still maintained constantly. And so he did this wonderful project called Clouds, where he traced how water is evaporated and then precipitated, and he went up and dug up the snowmelt on the top of the Sangres while he was here in December, despite the fact that I warned him there would be no snow. he had an immense abundance of snow to dig, and he purified it. And so you can come into the Art Institute gallery and have a chance to taste what snowmelt tastes like.
Amazing.
Which is fabulous, and you have the contrast of Baltimore rain, one of the dirtiest cities, and of course all the water is purified, but it has a very different flavor. The Baltimore water...
Lead?
Well, no, because the lead is taken out, but because it's on the ocean, the water, the rainwater that falls actually tastes salty.
Yeah.
And the rainwater that falls in the Sangres actually tastes sweet. So it's quite fascinating, beautiful cloud studies, well worth a little bit of time. It's a small, focused exhibition.
So this is all at the Santa Fe Art Institute, which is on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And when you drive in the driveway, you drive all the way down to the end and take a left. And
follow it around.
And follow it around.
You
and
take, actually, when you drive in, you
buildings.
Take a right.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because they changed the place of the driveway. We're talking to Diane Karp. Now, there's a lecture this coming Monday, the 4th of February at 6 o'clock.
Yes, at the Art Institute, not at Tipton Hall. We're moving our lectures into our own space.
Nice.
Which is very comfortable, and people get to see the exhibition as well as hear the lecture. It's a lecture by Blandine Chavan, who's the director of the Art Museum in Nantes, and it's part of an ongoing relationship we have with the École des Beaux-Arts in Nantes, where we bring artists here to the Art Institute for residency, and we send artists from the U.S. over to France to teach and engage with their students there. And Blandine is talking about a wonderful kind of contested space between image and text that was a relationship between a very important writer and poet who came to teach at the University of Albuquerque back in the 70s. I didn't know there was a University of Albuquerque. It was a Catholic university that didn't last much beyond the 70s. But Michel Boutour came, who was an experimental writer of great renown in France, came to teach at the University of Albuquerque. And a very dear friend of his named Camille Briand, who was a writer and an artist, began a correspondence of drawings and writings and poems that linked Nantes and Albuquerque and Santa Fe. And so she'll be talking about this marvelous relationship.
And do we get to see them?
You will be able to see some of them in the lecture, and we're hoping that next year we'll be able to bring the exhibition and exchange an exhibition of a wonderful collaboration between Susan York, the artist, and Arthur Z, the poet, to send to France, so it would be in Nantes. So this idea of exchanging culture is... Literal cultural exchange.
So this is on Monday at the Santa Fe Art Institute at 6 in the evening.
Monday the 4th of February.
Right, okay. Now, there's something else that you're doing, which I think is so fabulously awesome that you have to tell us about it, which is that you're doing some work at DeVargas Middle School, bringing art to the school, but not in the art class context, but actually in the humanities, mathematics, your basic
language
curriculum,
arts.
Language
exactly.
arts.
And what we discovered, we've been working in the public schools for almost 12 years, and what we discovered a long time ago was that when you give children the opportunity to think for themselves, to think creatively, to be innovative, not to be looking for the right answer, but to be figuring out what they want to say, it's a very different engagement. And we've been working with Chris Slakey, who's a language arts teacher in the 7th grade at DeVargas. And this year the challenge was to come in and help the kids to understand the power of language to build narrative. And so our wonderful arts outreach and education officer, Nicole Davis, and Chris Slakey sat together for weeks trying to figure out what would best serve the academic curriculum. And the decision was that they took Ernest Hemingway's one-sentence story, which is one of my favorite, and one of the things that Hemingway said was the best thing he ever wrote. And the one-sentence story is simply, "For sale, baby shoes never worn." And we took the
one-sentence short story.
Yes, we took the one-sentence story to the kids and said, you don't have to write pages. You just have to really think critically about the idea, the image, because it does project an image, a visual image, and the power of crafting language to be succinct but broad and powerful. And the kids wrote the most amazing one-sentence stories, and my very favorites run from one end of the spectrum to the other. One of them is a fabulous story that goes, "Zombies are loose in Walmart. No one knows what to do." And immediately you get the sort of crazy comedy of it. A very different one is a story that...
I love that because in the zombie movies, there's always someone who knows what to do. But in real life, that's...
Absolutely. And others, one of them is a bird cannot fly with a bullet in its side. Moving to a very profound, powerful statement about the fact that violence is part of our everyday reality. And goodness knows with all the gun violence that we're talking about now, the kids get it and they understand it.
Yeah.
This project had several aspects. Each of the kids wrote anywhere from 3 to 10 one-sentence stories. They are powerful and articulate and beautiful. And then they all got together and they voted on the ones that they liked the best. Not a prize winner, but it allowed that two of the stories could be chosen. One was part of the Cut and Paste Society's Snow Poems that
Yeah, we featured that a few weeks ago.
That was sprayed on the school's glass windows in the cafeteria. And one of them went up at the Art Institute. And the one that's at the Art Institute says simply, "What's a wolf without her pack?" That was. They were the two that the kids had chosen.
And
then they did wonderful faux encaustic abstract drawings about their one-sentence stories that sometimes fit perfectly and sometimes went in odd directions. And the final piece was they took these one-sentence stories, having worked with one of our artists-in-residence in studio at the Art Institute, and they created graphic novels. So there are three different ways that the kids had to express their ideas. The outcome, the work, is fantastic.
And one of the things that's so interesting to me about this is the kids got really excited and they showed up, and attendance was, I believe you told me, 100%.
Yes,
every day for 2 months.
We were in the school for 8 weeks, and the difference in the attendance is phenomenal. The kids took great pride in what they did. They loved engaging with the ability to sort of find their own voice. And Chris Lakey said the reason he so enjoyed having arts in the class was that the kids really wanted to come to school. So the attendance was almost perfect for almost 8 weeks.
Santa Fe Art Institute, bringing kids into the schools. I mean, it's not just that you guys are going in and leading this stuff. It's that you're actually getting the kids really excited. And I think it's such an interesting model that teachers and administrators in the schools can really learn from and think about, like what gets kids excited. Because once they're excited, they'll learn anything.
Well, you know,
they'll learn math and science and everything else.
Kierkegaard has a wonderful quote that has helped to drive my life, and that is, in order to teach anyone anything, first you have to seduce their minds.
Yeah.
You have to catch their interest. And this really allowed the kids to work together, collaborate, build on each other's stories. But one of the things that was most interesting is it allowed them to hear each other and to have a deep understanding and sympathy for the ideas that they were allowed to share. When we first went into the school, the kids really didn't want to stand up and share their work. But by the third week, they were dying
to get up and share their work. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, I don't want to get too highfalutin about it, but it is a kind of peacemaking that you're involved with.
It is very much a peacemaking. It's empowering people to not only speak openly, but to be tolerant and hear what the others have to say. And what we discovered is that a lot of the kids who, I mean, you remember being in seventh grade, it's the world of cliques and awkwardness. It allowed the kids to put that stuff aside and really value creativity and ideas and beauty.
Diane Karp is Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. They're on the web at sfai.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and we'll see you one of these Fridays speaking of the arts, too.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte. Thank you for always being here.